Mini episode 66 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number one, stdownscouting.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, the FDH Lounge mini episode here. Rick Morris, Ken Detweiler, Chris Galloway coming at you. We're celebrating the fifth anniversary of the FDH Lounge. 5 years ago today, Chris Galloway, one of the original dignitaries, in studio with us as we broke it all down, doing some segments today, doing this one on Major League Baseball and the Hot Stove League. And, of course, Ken tying into this excellently as well. I was the old sidekick on Life's a Pitch with Ken Detweiler back in our days at the Sports Talk Network. And in the latter days Ken has done some baseball things with us as well. So, good to get together with both of you guys to talk some seamhead type stuff here today. So take a look at how things developed over the course of the Hot Stove League. Late-breaking development just last night, actually, as we're sitting here today. Michael Pineda going to the Yankees in kind of a surprising move. Jesus Montero going to the Mariners. Not exactly a straight-up deal. There were some other considerations in there on either side, but that certainly is the core of the deal. And it's funny because it comes days after I was reading, I think it was Tom Verducci, somebody was writing and saying what a quiet offseason it's been for the Yankees and the Red Sox, at least in terms of personnel. The Red Sox had all the tumult in the front office and managerial spot, but in terms of personnel. But in terms of how this one's shaking out, Ken, it's very interesting because I looked at the Yankees, and by the way, they also signed Hiroki Kuroda to beef up that rotation. I was not impressed with their pitching heading into next year. You look at Ivan Nova, classic example of where the peripherals were just crappy. This guy's whip, this guy, everything else. This is a guy that was making a lot of contact, but was getting the benefit. He won games because he had a great offense behind him. When you're counting on Bartolo Colon, Freddie Garcia at this point in time, getting Pineda and getting Kuroda shows that the Yankees knew that they couldn't get by on Mirrors another year.
Yeah, and usually the Yankees are always a big player, but now King George has passed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what they were going to do. I thought they were going to sit out the whole winter, but that's what I get. Maybe it's more hope than anything else.
Yeah.
That I was hoping they'd sit out.
Well,
I
know,
hate the Yankees, but
you know, certainly Chris the Chowd was hoping that as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, so, considering the fact that my Sox are doing nothing to basically improve themselves in the offseason.
How much did they have to, though, after everything they did last winter? Isn't there the prospect of a lot of improvement from within there when you look at that?
There should be. I mean, on paper, you know, last year, you know, mostly the problems that happened last year, you know, despite the beer and the fried chicken in the in the clubhouse during games, was more about, you know, injuries to the pitching staff as the season went on. So, obviously, if guys can get healthy and come back healthy, they'll certainly be competing.
Well, not only that, I look at this, and this new Red Sox general manager that got promoted there, I understand that this guy is the ex-husband of ESPN's Wendy Nix. So does that tell us anything foreboding about his talent retention here? That doesn't say something very good to me, Chris. You know, I would be a little worried if I was a Red Sox fan. You going to be able to keep your star free agents on the field?
I mean, I'm gonna avoid commenting on that.
Okay. I don't blame you. Discretion is the better part of valor,
exactly,
as the great Gordon Sully once said.
Indeed.
But
I'd like to get back into Fenway Park.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure you would. But I find this very interesting, guys, that as the wild card is going to be expanded, certainly by 2013, but possibly in 2012 if Bud Selig has his way, and I believe that still has to be collectively bargained, you look at a situation now where that division, it's been the big two, but Tampa Bay has inserted themselves into it since they stepped up starting in 2008. You look in the West, the Rangers really consolidating under the ownership of Nolan Ryan the last couple of years here, and then the Angels signing Albert Pujols and C.J. Wilson to try to keep up. I see five teams, I see four spots, And it looks to me, as far as the eye can see, in the next 5 years or so, the odds are going to be very good that you're going to have those five teams battling for those four spots. Do either of you disagree to any extent?
No, I think you're right. I mean, there will always be that sort of sixth or seventh team that in any season will surprise and sort of be in the mix.
Right.
But I think you've sort of stumbled on, you know, what I would call the 1% of MLB. And, you know, everybody else will be just trying to find their way in. I'm you know, from my perspective, I think it's great to expand the playoff system within MLB in any way. I've been in favor of the new divisions and some of the realignment that they've done. Certainly the adding of the wild card I was in favor of. It beats the BCS system where you would have just the top team from the NL play the top team from the AL. And that would be the end of that. So,
and we would have a poll.
And we would have a
and
poll.
Computers.
You know, the ESPN power rankings would determine the top two teams, regardless of which league they're in.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would then play for the World Series. And it would be, you know, so it's clearly a much better system.
Jason Stark, what can you tell us about what the computers are saying about this year's
exactly.
World Series matchup?
That's right.
Oh,
Ken, how do you see it? I mean, this looks like a thing where you do have the oligarchy, if you will, you know, in those markets there. And again, it seems predicated on market size. Obviously, with the Yankees and the Red Sox at that point, obviously the odd man out in all of this is Tampa Bay, but their young talent is almost unparalleled in baseball, the way that the waves keep kind of coming up, and that's what kind of keeps them in the discussion. But the Angels, Texas, they're on the verge now of these great new TV deals. So do you concur that these are the five teams that we're going to hear the most from?
Yes, I do. And in the National League, you've got the Miami team.
Yes. Oh, they're stepping up.
Which shocked me and continues to shock me.
Yeah.
Because they're still talking to people.
Yeah.
Trying to bring them on board. It's like, where did this money come from? Paul Dolan.
Well, they've been banking it for years of not spending any money.
Yes.
So
yes.
They should have a huge nugget to spend at some point.
Well, that's true, Chris. And, you know, they do have an M.O.
Yeah.
When they were the Florida Marlins, but they'll tear down their championship season, go mm-hmm. a few seasons, like you just said, save up the money, get the guys in there, and win another championship. And here's another run coming.
It certainly is a system that's, you know, when they're winning a World Series every, you know, 6 years or 7 years, I mean, it's a better system than most franchises have going for them.
Yeah.
I mean, let's
no
be
names.
Honest.
No names.
Please. Yeah, that's true.
I would imagine Kansas City fans would take that in a second. You know, hey, listen, okay, we'll take the World Series ring, you know, every 7, 8 years. It will stink the rest of the time, but we'll gladly do that. I'm sure at this point Indians fans would
sure.
relish that.
God, yes. Absolutely. Just give us one is how I look at it. But
sell my soul.
You mentioned Kansas City, and they're a team that has a possibility to be maybe the next Tampa Bay. Their young waves that are coming along are really, really excellent. But that's kind of the thing now, and that's what puts a ceiling on you, it seems like, is basically market size in baseball, because Tampa Bay the last couple of years has not gone and gotten that extra piece when it might have helped them. I thought a couple times maybe they were one bat away from really making some noise, and I think if they had one more bat, I'd love to see what they would have done in 2008 in the World Series. But Kansas City, and I know that people are going to be shocked when it happens, Ken, because people have been waiting so long for this team to get back to the glory days of the 70s and the 80s. But I know that from somebody who looks at it from a fantasy perspective, as do I, you see everything that's coming in that pipeline.
Yeah, and I'm thinking as early as this year.
Could be. In a crappy division, why not?
Yeah, they got a crappy division. The Tigers are the only team that's going out there and spending money or making moves that I really think are that make sense. Not that they've called me or shot me an email or anything. But they've got young pitching. They've got great guys like Hosmer and some of these other guys.
Oh, yeah.
That at the everyday Moustakas. Lineup. Yeah.
And not to mention they have former Lake County captain Kevin Kuzminoff just signed to a deal with the Royals.
Really? Okay.
Ooh, this just in?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Just in.
Yeah, hot wow. news. Hot news. Yeah, so Kansas City is really they're positioned like that. But, again, there are some teams, and you mentioned Miami. They've been the flashy team in the National League in this offseason trying to jump up. We're a year now into the process of Washington trying to become
Washington's
a team like
team.
That. They've been out there spending some money. They continue to be rumored very strongly for Prince Fielder. As we sit here today on the fifth anniversary day of the Lounge, January 14th, 2012, as of yet, Prince Fielder still unsigned. A lot of talk that he could be going to Washington. If that happens, presumably you move Mike Morse to the outfield. But I don't know. I look at that, and it's a thing where do either of you guys think that they might be a little bit leery because of the way that they got burned, at least through 1 year, on Jason Worth? Now, again, Jason Worth was a guy that you could look at and say, ugh, how can you give this guy that much money? He was a classic right place, right time kind of deal. Maybe that's not the case with Prince Fielder, but do either of you guys think that that might affect, when it comes time to scratch that check, their willingness to do so?
It doesn't appear to.
No, I don't think it does.
Not at all.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think these teams who are spending the money, like the Miamis and the Nationals and the California teams out there, I don't know where they're getting this, if it's a gold rush that we don't know about, but man, oh man. It's kind of refreshing in a way.
Yeah.
As opposed to seeing the Yankees, and no offense, Chris, but the Red Sox spending money and being the only two teams that have done so in the past.
That's true. And by the same token, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, Ken, the Cleveland Indians that you and I grew up rooting for, pocketing the welfare money from the Yankees every year and not doing anything with it. I mean, these teams at least now. And Chris pointed that out with the Marlins. How many years have the Marlins had of just stuffing it into a mattress? You know, so some of it's the new ballpark. Some of it's the new, I think some of this might be coming from a TV deal with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some of it's coming from just what they've accrued over the years by not spending. But it's an odd thing right now because we're talking about this oligarchy in the American League and the teams that form it. The National League, we're probably a year or two away from seeing this oligarchy, I think, that's going to define the next decade. You've got Philadelphia there, and they're pretty well entrenched in that role. And they're the classic example of a team over the last decade that became a winner and consolidated it on market size, because it's a big market when you look at the population there. The TV dollars followed. The fans have come to the through the turnstiles. It's been a perfect storm for Philadelphia. San Francisco is trying to replicate that to an extent, the Bay Area with their TV market. But right now, we talked about it a little bit off air, Dodgers, Cubs, Mets, all bystanders because of, in the case of the Dodgers and the Mets, flux in ownership. In the terms of the Cubs, they got a new crew that came in there, but they're saddled with a lot of bad stuff. I mean, Ken, how many years left of Alfonso Soriano and some of this other garbage?
And they're trying to give away that contract, too, where the Cubs will pay most of it, if not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to the teams that you were talking about, Texas could be in a World Series again for the third straight year.
Easily.
Are we talking a dynasty? I don't know what qualifies as a dynasty, but I never thought I'd ever see that.
Oh, it's remarkable what they've done, and I think it was on Hardball Times I read last summer talking about that's another place where the TV dollars are going to follow, because that is, we were talking about this, Chris, I mean, the Metroplex is a pretty big market. So if you have a team that fans are all of a sudden now interested in, you now see this consolidation effect of where the Rangers can become a power for the medium term, maybe even the long term, with all the dollars that follow.
No, I mean, Texas is a football place, but when you're putting a successful product on the field the way the Rangers are right now, they can have a huge draw. They have a huge potential fan base out there. The Metroplex area is massive, and I mean, let's face it. I mean, that area has not experienced any recessionary difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
It's rolling in cash. Businesses are moving into that area on a weekly basis from other parts of the country.
Right.
They continue to grow. There's more people going there for things like jobs and better opportunities. So they're on the upswing. There's no doubt about it. And, of course, you know, let's not forget about, you know, one of the big advantages of for a player to possibly sign in a place like Miami or in Texas with no state income tax.
That plays a part also, because that's something they probably look at a lot, Ken.
Yeah, and you know, to go along with the Texas the team that they put together, that they put together, I'd be hard pressed to come up with a better team offensively, 1 through 9.
Yeah, and that's without Fielder.
Any other team in the major leagues.
Yeah, what if they get Fielder?
And they add Fielder to that. I mean, what do you bet him? Where do you bat him? I mean, my God.
Yeah.
Fourth? I mean, you can hear Michael Young and all those guys. Jeez.
Yeah. You know, and now all of a sudden, a guy like Mitch Moreland, who people still think can become a very above-average first baseman at least, you're looking at a situation that's a redux of what you're seeing in Anaheim. Mark Trumbo was second for Rookie of the Year. Boom. This guy's not needed anymore. We got Pujols.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you look at young talent also. Yeah,
you can move him for some pitching prospects. I mean,
well,
you could.
This has been a rumor, and it actually involves, and I'll tell you, and I would actually approve if this happened. I don't know, Ken, if you've heard this rumor involving the Indians. What would you think about Mark Trumbo for Chris Perez? I would do that. Yeah, I do that yesterday.
Where do I go pick him up?
That's right.
Let's start the car now.
Yeah, because, you know, Vinny Pastano probably good enough to be the closer, and then, you know, you just shuffle everybody up from there. There's some bullpen depth. I would do
throw
that.
Throw in a manager or two.
Yeah.
A couple coaches, whatever you need.
Can we get maybe an owner here as well? Yeah.
In a case of stadium mustard.
Yeah. Whatever.
How about Artie Moreno for the Dolans while we're at it? Can we work that out? You know, that would be tremendous.
Just swing around and pick them up.
And it's really interesting, too, when you look at a team like the Angels. You got a guy like Pujols, pretty much the consensus best player of the last decade. You've got a guy who is being mentioned in a lot of places on a short list for best player of the next decade in Mike Trout. We only saw him toward the tail end of last year and come up, but, I mean, there are few, if any, hotter prospects in baseball. I mean, Bryce Harper maybe and one or two other guys. It's very interesting in terms of the economics of the game because I think it's a consensus. You're not going to find anybody, even Artie Moreno, if you jammed him in the arse full of sodium pentothal, that wouldn't tell you that they overpaid for the back end of that contract. But if you're looking at a situation where he's not giving you that much the last 5 years or so of the deal, but you have a below market value in terms of payroll, pay rate, Mike Trout, that really makes up for it in a hurry, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's fun besides having just a couple teams now that are just going to be sensational. Being an Indians fan, it blows.
Yeah. Like they have them in the conversation.
Now we're talking about, okay, who's going to replace Laporta at first? And it's like apples and oranges. But
I can't wait for Trout's first free agency you know, go around in the headlines, or, you know, Trout goes fishing, you know, things like that.
Well, I think we can file that under Padres opponents are lactose intolerant. You know, I think bad headlines will always follow you around. By the way, that's another move of the offseason here thus far. Great move for the Reds, I think, in getting Matt Latos and making a move to step up there. And if you're San Diego and you're retrenching, there are some hard and long retrenchments going on. We talked about it off air a little bit with Oakland. Houston, I think it's pretty much a consensus. They're going to drop 115 plus or minus this year now that the Phillies have everybody that ever mattered in terms of their franchise in recent years. San Diego is another one. Latos goes to a place where, again, you look at ballpark effects. I was bemoaning off air as a long-term Jesus Montero owner in my keeper league. Now he's at Safeco. To a certain extent, you have the same thing for Matt Latos down on the riverfront there. It's not as friendly a place as Petco, but, Ken, they really need an arm like that if they're going to reclaim that division.
Exactly, and they've got it. And they've got a good everyday lineup, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of those trades where it was beneficial to both teams.
Yeah.
Edison Volquez, who's coming back from surgery, now goes into a pitcher-friendly park.
Right.
And that probably plays into his strength, too, so... But
it works for the Reds. I mean, with Pujols shipping off out of St. Louis, I mean, that division is wide open.
Well, let me ask you about that, though, as far as that goes and the window in that division. We're starting to hear talk now about can they afford Joey Votto? I think the only question that's relevant is can they not afford Joey Votto? Because you can't let that guy go, can you? He's the face of your franchise. How many other guys are you paying Major Jack to? You sign Joey Votto for whatever.
You do. I agree. Yeah. Well, I mean, not whatever, but you have to make a legitimate and serious effort to keep it.
Right, right. Don't count on the hometown discount is what I'm saying, because that's not going to fly. But, yeah, I mean, the Reds are set up nicely. That whole division's in flux. Milwaukee, I remember, Ken, we were doing our spring training preview on the show last year, and I picked them to win a division, and I said their window right now, you can't slide a piece of paper underneath it, and I was exactly right about that because it was a one-season thing. Fielder probably is gone. Ryan Braun, now some questions about that. He's going to miss 50 games, and who knows what he's going to look like when he comes back. They still have the great 1-2-3 punch with the pitching.
Yep.
But a lot of flux there. Way more flux than we thought we would see in St. Louis. It was looking like toward the end, maybe Pujols might come back after all. Nobody expected La Russa to step away. So that whole division is kind of a weird thing going into the next year.
Yeah, and that's part of the dynamics that we've seen that I've enjoyed in a weird sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Here come the Pirates.
Yeah, the and the Pirates had a nice step last year.
Nice little mirage until late July hit.
But with the Brewers, it's like, geez, how things change in a year.
Yeah.
You know, Braun out 50 games.
Yeah.
Possibly. Fielder not coming back. Good chance. You know, that whole thing, that changes everything
yeah.
in that everyday lineup.
Absolutely.
I mean, can the fans there, you know, it's a real softball town. Can the fans that are used to the legacy of Harvey's Wallbangers, can they get used to, you know, Markham and Greinke and Gallardo? Hey, we're going to try to win 1-0 tonight. That seems to me like it would be a tough sell in that town, Ken.
Do you remember
culturally.
That team from the 80s?
Yes.
Those guys? Who was the gentleman or the guy we got from center field?
Gorman Thomas?
Gorman Thomas. Jeez, that was a softball town. You hit that right on the head.
Yeah, that is.
Hey, they still have the sausage race.
Yeah, they do.
They do, yeah.
They do.
It's good.
And they have the cheap imitation of that, as everything is a cheap imitation down at the Jake with
the
their hot dog thing there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting division. I mean, you know, you mentioned Pittsburgh, but when their big splash for the offseason is, hey, we just signed Clint Barbas to a 2-year, $10 million deal. I don't know, Chris. I don't think that's going to spill a lot of beer down at the VFW Hall.
It's not going to. But, you know, again, another franchise that's trying to, you know, build through the draft, build through their system. They've got some guys coming up. You know, they, you know, at some point, you know, last year, you know, they got into late July and collapsed. You know, maybe mm-hmm. those guys can perform stronger this year, deeper and further in a weaker division.
Yeah.
You know, they, you know, I would think the Pirates could very well be around, you know, into August and just see what happens.
Well, I think that's a good point because outside of the Astros, there aren't too many teams in this division where you could just rule them. I mean, I'm going to rule out the Pirates from winning the division, but if the standard is stick around until August, who else can you rule out, Ken?
Well, and that's. Well,
even the Cubs,
and the Cubs are in flux right now too. But
yeah.
going back,
I could rule the Cubs out,
but
for sticking around till August for that standard,
I don't really like that team right now.
I don't either.
Not to August.
Anyway. Oh, okay, all right.
I could see them sticking around through July, but you get
okay.
into you know both, peel it back a month.
Yeah,
okay.
both Chicago teams are in reload mode.
Yeah, they are.
As far as I could tell, but. The thing with the Cubs and going back to the Pirates, more so even, is it accentuates the drafting.
Yeah.
Look who the Nationals have drafted in the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Dating back to, what, Zimmerman and some of these guys.
Yeah.
And
the
Harper
high picks, you know, Strasburg and Harper came from being first overall. Yeah.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh has missed.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. They get all these pitchers.
Brian Bullington, anyone?
Yeah. Brad Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know, hey. You know,
yeah.
And on, yadda, yadda, yadda. So, but that is really a key for the teams that aren't major markets.
That's
right.
True.
Well, yeah, the Pirates have been drafting like the Browns. I mean, they've got to mm-hmm. they've got to start to hit on some of these.
Yeah, you have
you'd
to.
Hope.
Well, and the interesting thing is, here, guys, as we start to bring this around a little bit, when you're looking at market size and when you're looking at expectations, through the course of the FDH Lounge show, as we've made a decent amount of friends in the New York media and made some contacts there. And our good friend Lloyd Carroll from the Queens Chronicle, I read his stuff all the time. It's so funny, the myopic perception. I'm looking at it in New York, and all these people that we've started to follow in the course of the last couple of years, there are actually folks that are disappointed that the team was 77 and 85 last year. We're the Mets. We have a big payroll. I'm looking at them this year. They're... Who can you put them ahead of in that division? Let's take Philadelphia out of the equation right now. Atlanta collapsed down the stretch, but still great young talent. Atlanta is set up for the next decade. They're going to be fine. We talked
yep.
about Washington and Miami stepping up. Washington's a year into the process of stepping up. They got that underneath them, and they're doing more in this offseason. The Mets look to be a last-place team. If I'm a Mets fan, I have to look at this and say, okay, this is a period of retrenchment, whatever, but the expectations there are you have this, you have your own TV network, you have whatever. How come you just can't go out? Meanwhile, the owners, you know, had this shady deal with Madoff that is still working its way through here. So it's really interesting because there's more to this stuff than meets the eye as far as being a big market team. Sometimes you run into these complications.
Yeah, what a complication. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's
I mean,
the perfect storm of them, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got that new stadium, and the Mets have – who's their second baseman going to be? Who's going to be?
I think they're putting Daniel Murphy at second base.
Yeah, their pitching is, ugh. Their bullpen is what Toronto had last year, a regurgitation of them.
Well, the initial plan was for them to go pluck a second baseman somewhere out of Occupy Wall Street. I think Daniel Murphy might be a slight upgrade over that option, yeah. But I can't say for sure.
Starting pitching, really?
It's
Well, I mean, this is years of blowing free agent, big free agent contracts.
And draft picks.
And, you know, you got to hit on one or the other. I mean, you can't miss out. You can't, you know, make bad decisions in both.
Right.
Because no matter how big a team you are and how new fancy a park you've got with, you know, lots of revenue coming in and TV deals and your own TV network in a major metropolitan area, you're still going to have, you know, huge financial problems if you got all these contracts.
Right.
Either they're homegrown guys or free agents that you've struck out on. Well, and that's what that's been their demise, really, more than anything.
And it's interesting, too, because in talking to
the Madoff stuff, just, you know, that just complicates it, you know, from the business, you know, ownership standpoint. But
right.
From a talent standpoint, they've just sucked.
Right. When
huge contract, you know, to Jason Bay, you know what I mean?
When anything about your ball club, anything with any kind of even tangential connection to your ball club forms the basis for a sitcom called Two Broke Girls, your team doesn't have as much money as you think it does, all right? They're in a bad way. They got some bad things going on here. You know, and in looking at this team, too, I draw some parallels in terms of how they've done things the last couple of years, Chris, to your Red Sox of about 10 to 12 years ago. Because you remember, before they stepped up and won those two World Series, they couldn't get past the Yankees. They were perennially behind them. And I always looked at the pie chart of the team at that time, and it was like, we're paying all this to Pedro. We're paying all this to Manny. Like, okay, I'm looking at a pie chart here that's mostly purple from their salaries and a tiny shade of blue for everybody else. And that's how the Mets have done it. I mean, it wasn't until the Red Sox got more equitable with spreading the wealth around, a trademark Barack Obama, that they really did step up. But then in the case of the Mets, they haven't really done that, Chris. It's been, I'm sure we can pluck a guy out of Tidewater to go play right field for us. You can't win that way.
No, that's right. You can. And that's the root of their whole problem.
Yeah.
And it was that problem for years for the Red Sox. I mean, they wasted money on terrible free agents for years. I mean, I remember the Sox in, you know, late 80s, 88, 89, when they went out and got Young, he was a pitcher out of Seattle. They paid him a huge multi-year contract, and when they pulled him out of Seattle the year before, he'd won three games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd gone 3-13, and the Sox gave him like a 5-year deal at like, you know, $7 million a year. It was like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, and then when he finally got to the Sox, he did throw a no-hitter in one game. However, the Sox actually lost that game. So,
right.
Just goes to show you there. You know, there's bad decisions and then there's bad decisions.
Throwing a little bad luck on top of it.
Yeah.
One hitter and he lost.
He threw a no hitter and he lost. So, this is a guy they pulled out of Seattle who had won three games the year before and they paid this huge contract to him. I was like, what are you doing? Matt Young, that was his name.
Yeah. That's when you know you're screwed, is when you got things like that happening. It's very early yet. I don't know if anybody else wants to go out on a limb, and I'm not going to force them, but I'll make my predictions already for next year for the World Series. I was off on, as was the rest of the world, on my Boston-Philadelphia World Series pick. This year I'm going to say Phillies over Angels, but my twist is the Angels making it as a wild card. I think Texas can grind out that division over the long haul as they have the last 2 years. I like the Angels going into the playoffs. Now, C.J. Wilson's a number three pitcher and probably the best one in the league, and that's an appropriate role for him. When you're looking at Weaver, Heron, Wilson, they're my team to come out of the American League because it's going to be hard to measure up to those three, although the Yankees are in a better spot to do that. The Phillies, we didn't really talk about them much here. They haven't done much in the offseason, but you don't have to talk much about the Phillies. They're pretty stacked coming back into this season anyways. I'll say Phillies over the Angels in the World Series. Anybody else, like I said, it's a little early. If anybody's afraid of looking silly like me making a pick early, I understand. But either of you guys got any picks?
Looking silly is a daily basis every time I get up in the morning. I look in the mirror. Let's see. So silly is not an issue for me. Philly from the National League, and I'll take the Angels in the American League and the Angels winning because I don't see Charlie Manuel. I mean –
Yeah, Charlie Manuel, Mike Socia.
He's kind of stepped over
himself. If you're
making
the scale motion.
He's kind of tripped over himself a number of times already, so I don't see him. I mean, last year the Phillies were supposed – they were anointed already.
Yeah.
Them and Boston.
Is that the biggest shock since the A's choked and only won one of those three World Series? I got to put that up there with those ones. I got to go back that far to find something as surprising.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we all know what happens in, you know, Philadelphia when you name someone the dream team.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They had a problem last year with that in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be a little different. I will say third time's a charm, Rangers over Braves.
Okay. Yeah, I can see the Braves making it back. So clearly you have to be figuring and making that kind of a pick. And I think this is probably going to happen also. You're thinking Tommy Hansen's going to come back and do what he can do. Because, I mean, there's a legitimate frontline ace.
Yep.
No questions asked. Okay. Yeah, yep. I think he's going to come back strong, yep, too. I could see,
yep,
that.
I think the Braves will be the wild card.
Okay.
You know, and they'll get in. And I'm just going to look for Philly to collapse again for one reason or another. And I like Texas, especially if they add Fielder.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I would put Texas right back in there, and I think they would win it with that lineup over a young Braves team. So I'm going Texas Braves.
That would be very interesting if it happened. Before we bring the baseball stuff all the way around here, since it is the fifth anniversary show here, I do want to go back to something, and I'm not sure I've told you about this on or off air, Chris, a time when your name actually came up on the air here. We were talking to a friend of the show, Sean Casey. We were talking to him, and it was a lot of fun having him on the times we did. And I remember, I don't think I mentioned you by name, but I mentioned calling up a friend of mine. I said to Sean Casey, I said, I called up my friend when you were traded, and I screamed at him that I don't ever want to hear anything about Jeff Bagwell again. We just traded a kid that hit 380 at Akron for a friggin' number three pitcher. And Sean Casey was like, well, you should have been my agent. I would have loved to have stuck around. I was like, well, Sean, realistically, the path was blocked. I just wanted more for you, you know. I wanted value, you know. I didn't want Dave Burba.
Yeah, well, I didn't want Larry Hunter either. But,
no, or Larry Anderson.
Larry,
I think, right?
Anderson,
yeah.
Right, sorry.
See, we can't even remember his name.
Yeah, that's how, you know, God. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and get an eighth-inning setup guy, you know, basically.
Yeah.
Make him a closer. Okay, great. And we gave away Bagwell for that?
Yeah.
Again, old Red Sox administration, another example of horrible decision-making.
Exactly. And, you know, we've seen a lot of ups and downs in the course of the baseball world over the last 5 years of the lounge here. So, all right, that'll wrap up our examination here of the hot stove.